everyone. I'm Emily.
And I'm Vince.
And this is the Lighthouse Lowdown. Well, hello.
Hello.
It's my birthday yesterday, so.
Happy belated.
Yeah, we've got recording on a Friday. We're going to celebrate tomorrow with some fun stuff.
That's right.
Kick Vince's butt.
Yeah, I just blew all the secrets of what we're going to do, so.
Yeah, well, I need blown secrets. I'm one of those people who needs to mentally prepare for an outing, especially if there's other people involved.
Well, it's going to be great.
With you, I feel like I can handle whatever. Where I'm like, oh, I don't know. You make me feel safe.
Well, you're safe. So. Like a lighthouse.
Lighthouses are not safe.
Always under financial turmoil. I am like a lighthouse.
Inside, you're pretty safe, but the lighthouse themselves is not safe from anything in particular.
Tall, I'm like a lighthouse.
Yeah. Hey, I made that joke on my Instagram.
Bright.
Okay.
Like a lighthouse.
Right?
Bright.
Oh.
Luminous. Anyways.
The history buoy today is kind of works into our episode and its event. It's called The Wreck of the Isidore.
The what?
The Wreck of the Isidore.
The Isidore? That's what I'm saying. What's the last word?
Isidore.
Isidore. All right. Let's hear it.
It leads into... the lighthouse that we're covering today, which everybody else knows because they clicked on the title, but you don't.
That's right. I'm unaware.
Vince and I found out the other day that people thought that he knew everything before we started recording and just feigned.
Yeah, like I'm acting the whole time. Just acting like a dumbass. Just, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we do this with honor. There's no knowing. Sometimes he sees quickly a photo that passes across the screen, but it's... usually when I'm starting the episode on accident.
Yeah, usually I find out when you find out. So.
Okay, so I'll start the episode. So we're going all the way to Other Oetapa.
I'm sorry, what? Other Oetapa?
We're going...
Who's at the bar?
Almost to the most southern point of Maine. So like almost into whatever state's below Maine.
I think we should do an episode on geography of lighthouses.
We really ought to do something.
Mostly covering the regions and what states are in them.
I genuinely have no idea what's below Maine. Is it Delaware?
Is it New Jersey?
I see.
No. I think you're right.
It's New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. I got half of it
right.
What
did I say?
The word new.
What did I say?
Delaware.
Dang it. Yeah. That's not close. You know what? That's fine. Nobody's asking me to be good at geography. They're just asking me to deliver facts about lighthouses, which I will do today.
Let's do it. Throw down.
Okay, wow. So down there in Maine, close to New Hampshire. Yeah. I forgot already. There's Cape Nedic. Does that sound familiar to you?
Nope.
Okay, excellent. There's a tiny rocky island, which, by the way, is called a nubble. Does that sound familiar?
No. I like the word, though.
Okay, good.
Is there a nubble light?
At the end of the game. But it's like less than 100 yards away, like less than a football field.
Like a nubble out there.
Space. It's just a little nubble. So that's kind of the location of this wreck that we're going to talk about, the Isidore, which I think is how it's pronounced.
Isidore.
I listened to a couple different pronunciations, and they were all different. So I'm just going to go with Isidore.
Like Spanish?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
This wreck of the Isidore is a legend of Cape Nedic and was why the lighthouse that we're covering today was built in the first place. It's because of this wreck. So November 1842, the three-masted bark, which is just a sailing ship.
I like that word bark when referring to ships.
Here's a depiction of the wreck.
It's not doing too well during this depiction.
It's in the name, so you know it doesn't survive. Oh, was setting sail on her maiden voyage and got into a snowstorm, got into like gale force winds and wrecked, which at the time they said that this storm was the worst that anyone had seen in Maine.
So it was
definitely a big deal. The ship wrecked on the rocky Bald Head Cliffs in... well, I think it's just north of Cape Nedic.
Okay.
Is where they actually wrecked, like where this drawing is depicting. And all 14 crew members on the ship passed away.
Oh my gosh. Wreck. Rip.
The reason why this is a legend is because of some spooky circumstances surrounding this wreck. So we're going to talk about those.
Okay.
A couple days before they were supposed to set sail, a crew member, his name is Thomas King, had a dream of a wrecked ship that resembled the Isidore and her crew bodies washing ashore.
Man, that's rough.
So obviously he was totally freaked out and pleaded with the captain that they don't go ahead with their trip, which was to deliver a cargo load to New Orleans and then head to France after that.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So the problem was Thomas King was paid a month's wage in advance of this trip. And so the captain was like, there's going to be some serious consequences if you try to back out.
He's like, I've already spent it on gambling. Yeah. What are you talking about?
He's like, I know you don't have the money to pay that back. And so the captain was like, we're still going to set sail and you got to go. And then the night before the trip, another crew member dreamt of 7 coffins on the shore with his own body in one of them. And so he went to the captain and asked that they not sail, but of course they're going to anyway.
Right.
Like, but this is a time where I feel like superstition and things would be more widely listened to.
Oh yeah.
Like I had a crazy dream in my workplace, I wouldn't, huh?
They thought mermaids were real.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. I just said it.
I think that's right. And there's, well, no, maybe not.
I said it.
Depends on who you ask, but yeah. But anyway, he was also ignored. But this second instance of a dream was enough to scare King off, and he hid in the town as the ship was
setting
off. Yeah. As they left, this is when the wind picked up and it started to snow, leading to 20-foot waves and the gale force winds that I was mentioning.
Ouch.
Obviously, hard to survive a storm like that in these times.
What year we're talking?
1842.
Yeah, big storm.
Not too crazy long ago, but
well, a long time enough in shipping technology.
Yeah. So the next morning, the wreckage was spread all across Cape Nettic Island, with only 7 of the crew members washing ashore. The rest lost to sea, and one of these 7 was the guy who had the dream.
Man,
I know,
the dream became true.
Yeah, well, the dream was like a premonition of the future.
Oh my gosh.
So kind of crazy. Since that Thanksgiving night, the Isidore has been spotted as a phantom ship near Boone Island and Avery Cove, even by people who don't know the story of her wreck.
That's cool. That's Phantom Three Sails.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. I would like to see a phantom ship. There's even stories of like people who are out fishing and they see this ship like wrecked and they go to see it. And as they get closer, it disappears.
That's cool.
Like, spooky.
That is spooky because it's spooky time of year.
Spooky. Yeah, I guess we have Halloween in a little over a month. Oh!
Sorry. Let me turn those
but
down.
But it is interesting that it's like, it's a legend, but it's also based on just straight up fact. Like
yeah.
There's nothing.
1840s.
Yeah. So after this wreck, public outcry led to the idea for a lighthouse on that island. But it wasn't until 1879 that the plans were underway. And apparently it's because there was multiple, I don't know how this works, but there was multiple owners of the lighthouse, of the island.
Mm.
And one of them, or like a couple of them, wanted to build a hotel on the island.
Interesting.
And so there was like this big, long, drawn out battle for like 5 years of trying to purchase. I think the island was purchased for like $1,500 or something at that time, okay, which was a lot. So Cape Nettic Lighthouse, affectionately called Nubble Light or Cape Neck by locals, was built on this little island in 1879. Picky pig.
It took them a little while.
Yeah, a long time. It's almost, I mean,
can you imagine like a really bad thing happens?
Yeah.
And then 30 years go by.
Oh my gosh.
Before the solution is built.
Yeah, the people who were probably pushing for it didn't even live that to see the rest of it. So here we go. Pulled up a picture.
Classy.
Yeah.
I like it.
We love a red light. So a 41-foot conical tower was built of cast iron sections lined on the inside with red brick. So
of course,
it was just, you know, metal sheath. And this looks very familiar.
Many East Coast lighthouses.
Yes. This is like a lot of what we saw in Cape Cod. There's,
that's right.
It looks a lot like Nauset Light, and Nobsco Lighthouse is very similar to this.
Mm-hmm.
It had a 32-step cast iron spiral stairway leading to the watch room with a ship's ladder leading to the lantern room. And this is pretty cool. The gallery is surrounded by a metal railing that has 4-inch lighthouse-shaped, what is it called, finials?
I don't know, but that's cool.
I have a
little ornate.
Yeah, the little
handrail tops.
Yeah, like if you think of like a fence in a fancy neighborhood, they have like
fix the newel post.
Yeah, newel post, but
not for stairs. Yeah. That's cool. Oh my gosh, they've got a little hex nut on the bottom.
Hex nut.
You can like thread them on and off. Maybe
somebody said it's a replica of the lighthouse, but I think it's just a little. I think it's just like a very classic lighthouse depiction.
That's very particular. Yeah. Whoever did that.
I know. And it's like you see all these brick lines and everything. It's
yeah.
Very neat.
Cool.
And they're still there. So just fun to see the little accents, even though they could make it cheaper by not adding cute little yeah. details.
No one's going to see those except for the keeper.
Yeah. Especially now you can't even like get out there. Pretty sure it's
private. Oh, the island. Property. Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't look. Because I think, I really don't think you're allowed to step foot on the island unless Dang. You're like invited or something. So.
How far out is it?
Less than 100 yards.
Kayakable.
At like a soup. Yeah, exactly. At like a super low tide, there's like a bed, like a rock bed that yeah. you could walk across. But it's the island itself is very rocky, like tall.
Hard to climb up.
Edges. Yeah, it's not like walking onto a sandy beach or something. Right. It's all rock.
Hmm. I can't believe the ship wrecked that close to shore.
Yeah.
Right
I
as
know.
They were leaving. They're like, oh no.
The wind just kind of forced them back over.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So the fixed red fourth order Fresnel lens. See how that was hard for me to
That's
say.
That's a lot.
Was lit July 1st, 1879. We love a red lens. The tower was white, later painted a reddish brown and then returned to white in 1899. So it's been white for basically its entire lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at pictures of the island, let me go back. So if you look at the island, there's several different little buildings here. Mm-hmm. We got at the tower, which is connected to the keeper's house by an enclosed walkway, which was added in 1911 because obviously it gets pretty cold here and you might as well be protected. And you can kind of see this picture of the rocky edge too. You can't really make it up.
It's pretty rock.
To the island. Yeah.
I know we're the golden hour in this photo.
Yeah. True.
It's crazy to see the tunnel. It's not the tunnel. What is that called? The walkway.
Yeah.
And how that's a recurring theme for lighthouses mm-hmm. and keepers' houses.
Yeah.
And it's crazy like to think how bad the weather must get to where someone decides, you know what? We need to build an enclosure for me to stay inside. I just think that's a lot of effort.
Especially because it's never that far from the house. But if you think about like you having to run the foghorn or like for an example, I don't know if I have a picture of it later. This lighthouse used to have another walkway on the other side that led to the foghorn. So you'd never have to go outside in the weather.
It's like an engineering school or building.
Yeah.
Never want us to see the sun.
Or I'll just bail.
Yeah. It's funny. I was thinking about Triangle Island Light. I can't forget. That was one of my early episodes that I covered.
Yeah.
There was stories of the storms being so crazy out there. And that's off the coast of Victoria Island, west coast. But the men that were going between the buildings they had like cables they had
to
run.
Hold on to.
So they would crawl on the ground.
Oh my gosh.
And like belly across the ground using the cable because otherwise they'd get lost in the rain and wind and everything.
That's terrifying.
Couldn't hear each other at all. So
yeah, because it was really high up, wasn't it?
Yes. That was a particularly bad spot to build a lighthouse.
What were they thinking?
For those guys. That was one where the roof blew off.
Yeah.
On one of the structures. So anyways, back to this episode. It's nice to see those walkways, but it's curious. It's interesting to me how they're all over the place.
Yeah. It was definitely like something that's adopted later on.
It's a good idea.
Over time. You're like, why would I force the keepers to go outside several times a day when you know the weather's never very good?
There's a modern version of this still in use in manufacturing spaces
okay.
that I know about from work. I cannot say where this is at due to non-disclosure information, but there are enclosed walkways even in manufacturing facilities today where men and women are using like hand carts to move materials because they cannot be exposed to the outside, the materials themselves, whether they can't be seen by the outside or because of the
exposure.
Rain or yeah. So there's still like modern versions of these little walkways being built above ground too. Kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. I always like to see it because it just is showing care for the people. Like you just care about the people who are
Some
working
humanity.
There. So you're like, yeah, you might as well just add a little walkway. So we've also got a bright red oil house, which was built in 1902. And we also have a storage building and a boathouse. And in the past, there was a pyramidal structure with a fog bell inside. It started off as like a skeletal A-frame sort of thing with the bell exposed. Then it moved on to an enclosed white tower that was removed in 1961. So they're not in current photos, but I have one, an old one.
Interesting. Wonder why they... Oh, that's cool. It adds to the whole architecture.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool. Oh, yeah, there's that walkway you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the bell, looks like, hanging out on the right side. For those of you not watching online, we see the house on the left, the lighthouse in the center, and then on the right, this pyramidal...
Pyramidal. I don't know.
Like,
that's how I would say it.
Fog bell structure. Pretty cool.
Yeah, brick painted white. It's very nice.
Cool photo.
I didn't look into what, why it was removed. I think it was damaged and then removed. Ah. So, but I don't know.
It's a unique shape. So I can imagine it'd be difficult to repair.
I've seen a couple of them though. I don't know if maybe it was more resilient when it's shaped like that.
Someone's in there smacking on a bell then with a hammer.
They get some automated striking mechanisms and stuff.
Good.
This bell would strike every 15 seconds in foggy weather.
There was, I wish I remember, they deserve for me to remember, but there was a storm recently we talked about.
In Maine. Yeah.
Where a fog bell house was damaged. And it had a similar...
Pemaquid Point, I think.
Yeah, it was kind of similar. It wasn't the same shape, I don't think, but the way the bell was mounted, where it's exposed and it had some cover on one side for the machinery or for the people. It's kind of cool. I assume, again, that's a recurring thing.
Yeah, Pemaquid Point. They also had a little pyramid.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Look at me.
I'll pull it up.
Memory. A little smaller.
So pretty common shape. Although this one was connected to an actual building, but I guess ours had a walkway, so you didn't really need a building.
I'd be interested. Maybe we'll put together an episode and take some time to research on just kind of some general themes of lighthouse architecture.
Yeah, things you see reoccurring all the time.
I don't know if I already mentioned it, but I've done some research on, I think I mentioned it in one of the episodes, different themes for lighthouse keepers' houses.
Mm-hmm.
But there's lots of information out there.
I like looking at this keeper's cottage because it looks like a gingerbread house.
It does. It's what's it called? The little texture that's under the roof line?
I don't know. I would just call it a trim, but I'm sure it's a style. It's
gothic.
Yeah.
Something. But anyways.
I haven't seen something like that before, so it's kind of fun. There also used to be an overhead tram shed, which the tram brought supplies from the mainland. So at first it was just like a basket that they brought over with like a pulley system. And then keepers would use it to get food and water. So they would row over to the mainland because it's not that far.
Mm.
They would row over, put their groceries in the basket, row back over, and then pull the groceries over.
I imagine that failed at least once.
Yeah.
Someone just watched their groceries plunge into the water.
I know. They talked about it a couple times, like before they did that, or if they didn't use it. Then they were like rowing with groceries and it capsizes.
Oh.
And they're like, oh, you know, everyone was fine, but like our groceries took a hit.
Man.
I know, I'm like, dang it. It's probably why they added a basket. And later, the lighthouse was electrified in 1938. The tram also got an upgrade. And the mechanism was in this shed until it was damaged by a winter storm in 2013.
Oh, so recent.
So I think now it's like a zip line or something. I couldn't really figure out what they...
It's still there?
Yeah, the they added points? Something else. Yeah. Cause,
but it's a private island.
Yeah, but nobody lives there.
But you can't go there legally.
I don't think so.
You could zip line there potentially. I was thinking kayak.
I have a story. This I didn't make note of it. Dang it. I'll just try and tell you what it was from memory.
Sure.
But there was a couple, or at least later on, there was a keeper who... Do I have a picture of this? I think I do. Okay. This guy sent his wife... and child in the basket to the island.
All right.
And she talked about it. I mean, she's still alive and she's like, it wasn't a big deal. Like, it's a lot faster. And, you know, we've done it 100 times, like the bringing something back and forth.
Yes. Yeah.
And then, the Coast Guard, because this was Coast Guard times, the Coast Guard caught wind of this event because he would send his kid back and forth to school in the basket.
Oh my gosh.
Stick him in there. And a picture of him went into the newspaper of him in the basket. And so then, of course, the Coast Guard saw it and was like, okay. They were like, families with school-age children are no longer allowed on this lighthouse. Yeah.
So. That is crazy.
I know.
I guess it's not that much more crazy than sending them on a boat.
Yeah.
They're above water. I mean, if they fall out.
Yeah, and it's got a rope underneath and like...
Safety standards
are... kind of crazy.
It's crazy that there's a photo.
I know.
So cameras were... This is not that long ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this was probably like...
1900s?
70s, 60s or 70s.
1960s?
Yeah.
People were just built different back then.
I know. You're just like, you might as well.
Baby
kids,
boomers.
Come on.
Doing crazy
and
things.
And you're thinking about, it was like a young boy and
go
they just
school,
sent
Timmy.
Him. Go to school. Yeah. Send him to the island. Like, was the school close to where he got off the basket by himself?
Yeah. You thought it was hard to walk uphill in the snow both ways.
What about over water and that's rocks? Crazy. So like if it fell, it would not be just like.
Yeah, that's the kid in the photo. Just like,
I've done it before.
I don't know.
No big deal. So I guess that this has always been a family lighthouse location. Mm. They always have families there. So I wonder how that affected it to have no school age children.
Didn't help, I bet.
So even though we're close enough to the mainland to get supplies over by a basket, the keepers described living here as like being in a fishbowl because it's like this spectacle where like
you see it.
Yeah, you can see it, but you aren't allowed to go in. And that's only like current times. Mm. Earlier, this was like a very popular tourist spot. And has been since the very first keeper of this lighthouse announced in the Portsmouth paper that visitors could be ferried to the island for 10 cents by his son.
Nice.
He'd come out, pick you up, and bring you to the lighthouse. And
little side hustle.
Yeah, do tours. And this, like, its entire history, the keepers have done tours for money.
That's cool.
And they get to keep it. So it's like they're running their own side business, which obviously... I can't imagine the Coast Guard lighthouse service would enjoy that. Yeah. So in 1898, Keeper Lewis was prohibited to be taking visitors on Sundays specifically. He told people that it was because he was making too much money, but the reality was that it was affecting his job.
Oh, he's too busy.
Yeah. Too many people. And they said even at one point there was like 200 to 300 people on the island.
What?
And like the only person running everything was his wife.
Oh my gosh.
So it was crazy. They're like, you have to stop this. Especially on Sunday when people would go out and like, oh,
yeah, they
let's
have time.
Get a tour of the lighthouse.
Go
yeah.
see the lighthouse.
That'd be fun.
Meet me at the lighthouse.
So the tourist trade brought in a lot of money for keepers, but in 1919, Keeper William Richardson was fired for ferrying over tourists. So I guess they just started to draw the line where what was appropriate and it kind of just put a damper.
Ruin the fun.
Yeah.
Thanks, government.
The distance to the lighthouse was also easily swimmable, proven by the lighthouse cat. And this name is incredible. So I'm not really sure exactly what years this cat was there. I think it was in the 50s or like maybe 60s or something. But the name, it was like a 20-pound ginger striped cat. And his name was Sambo Tonkus.
Sambo Tonkus.
Sambo Tonkus.
That's awesome. Do you have any photos of Sambo?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a big cat.
I know.
And a very thin man.
He's got his little white socks. So it looks like a tabby cat, but they said he was ginger. So he must have been some kind of like really pretty patterned mix.
So this cat would swim in the ocean.
Swim. Yeah. It ran out of mice on the island.
Of course.
Because it did such a good job. So
but
it would
so
swim
big.
To the mainland and come back with like mice in its mouth.
Feed its babies.
Yeah. So people in town knew of this cat and everybody loved him. So
that's awesome. Sambo Tonkin?
Tonkus.
Tonkus.
This is Eugene. This picture I pulled up is Eugene Coleman, who was the current keeper. Because Sambo was left behind by another keeper who said that he just fit in so well at the lighthouse.
Cat.
Like, yeah. Why would I take him away from here? He does a good job, so I'll leave him. And so he stuck around.
That's awesome.
I know. So cute. 1923, the light is electrified, but not before an explosion took out the Fresnel lens, which was replaced with a duplicate. I cannot find a single detail about what this explosion is, even though there are several references that say explosion takes out Fresnel lens.
But no one says why.
Nobody. Or how. What kind of explosion happened in the lantern room? Somebody smoking while they're filling up the the kerosene or something?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense to me. And then there's no you're not going to talk about if anybody got hurt or like what sparks an explosion in the lantern room. I got to know.
Also, Fresnel lenses are kind of fragile.
Yeah.
Kind of. Not really. They're huge.
Yeah. And mostly like if there's some damage, you just replace the glass panels, but not the entire thing. And to replace the entire thing.
Sounds like insurance fraud.
I just wish somebody would explain. If somebody out there knows, tell us what happened to this Fresnel lens. So we still have a fourth order lens. So that's good.
Okay. Nice. It's basically fourth order. It's basically to protect it from the cove nearby. Not really any other big ocean traffic.
So it's
the port nearby. Because fourth order is shorter range, 20 miles maybe.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, shorter range. So yeah, you're probably right that it's just for
20 is still a lot. How what's the range? Like a ballpark?
12?
I was gonna say 20, but like 30 I think is first order. Somewhere around 30.
No, 23 is first order.
What?
Oh my gosh. So it says Noble Lighthouse facts. The light from the Noble Lighthouse's Fresnel lens is visible for 13 nautical miles in clear weather.
Okay.
I was right on the money.
13 nautical miles. I was about 200% off.
But this is a red light, so it's actually the range is smaller.
Okay.
What was the question in the first place?
What's the range of a lens?
Oh, good.
Because this is, it's within sight of the main port.
Yes.
So really it's to protect
the port. So it's more like being close to the mainland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rather than, some islands are way out on their own and they need first order.
It's not really, that's a good point. It's not really deflecting away from the island because the island's so close to the mainland. It's really just like.
Just don't hit this.
Yeah.
It's a point.
You're coming up on it. So the light was automated in 1987 and historian William O. Thompson said, quote, "It's the biggest issue in our little town. I can't remember people getting so upset about anything since World War II broke out."
Oh.
So obviously people cared a lot. So the town banded together to adopt the lighthouse through the Maine Lights program in 1998.
Nice.
So the town owns it.
Y2K.
I think. If it's still the same as it was in 1990s or almost 2000. While hundreds of people have applied to live in the keeper's cottage, they have problems with water and sewer connections, so nobody ever has.
Mm.
So, which is a shame, because that would be nice. I would appreciate some Noble Lighthouse living.
Utilities are important and difficult on a light station.
Yeah, so I guess somebody just goes out there every once in a while to take care of it, because it's in great shape. They did a series of restorations starting in 2017. Which ended with a $42,000 project in 2021 to replace the back deck and windows. So they did a whole overhaul.
So there's no visitation going on? Like there's no tours or?
No, you can't step foot on
it. Are you telling me they do that and you can't tour it?
Yeah. So something Noble Light's most popular for, I just pulled up a picture for those of us listening online, but is the annual Christmas lighting event. Where the lighthouse and surrounding buildings are framed in lights, but I'm not going to talk too much about it. There's a lot of good information on it, but I'm going to do a Christmas episode on December 23rd, part two of last year's, where I just cover a couple of the lighthouses that we've already covered this year and like what they do for Christmas. And so we have a really good lineup this year. It's going to be really good.
Nice. Exciting.
But yeah, so they go out there, people line up, I think it's York is the area that's across from it.
Okay. They're viewing the lighting.
Yeah, they just view the lighting of the lighthouse. And they also do one in July now because who's going to Maine in December? Or at least it's not really, let's hang out on the shoreline.
Right. Let's stay outside.
Yeah, let's get some sea breeze on our faces.
July's a little easier.
Yeah. So a lot of people are visiting in July. So they're like, we might as well do a Christmas in July event thing. So.
This is gorgeous. They've done a great job.
Really great photo. But that's Noble Lighthouse or Cape Nedick Lighthouse.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. It's a shame we can't go to the island. I was going to say, we talked about Maine as one of our potential future trips.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of potentials. But whoever's doing keeping it in shape, I mean, from these photos, it looks like it's in great shape.
Yeah, really nice. Looks freshly painted and everything's taken care of. So I love that little oil house.
The little oil house, which is over there because it's flammable, I take it.
Yeah. Like, let's get this as far away as possible.
Far away from everything else.
Just save the Fernellans, but whatever.
Well, we've had stories of oil houses burning and exploding.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Never good.
Yeah. Learning from your mistakes. Adding walkways, oil house far away. But yeah, yes. That's it.
Nice. Well, good job and thank you.
You're welcome. Just a short little one for you.
How many have we covered now in Maine? A couple?
I think two or three.
Okay. We did at least one else. Yeah. What other?
We've done two other ones. I just had the map pulled up. 1 second.
Waldo isn't in Maine, is it?
Yes. West Quaddy.
West Quaddy House. West Quaddy Light.
And I'm thinking the one that we were Forrest Gump was also.
Forrest Gump.
Marshall Point Lighthouse. Nice. Yeah, that's the one.
All right. So Maine's looking strong for lighthouses.
I know. I really want to go. Portsmouth is also technically Maine, isn't it? Oh, no.
No.
It's just below the Maine line.
Into New Hampshire.
Hampshire. Dang it.
New York, New England.
I don't care about geography. When was the last time I was in a history class?
Never. 20 years ago.
How rude. I took history in college, probably freshman year.
What history did you take in college?
Just like a basic history class. Pre-Civil War, that's
what
it
was. Are you sure?
Yeah. What do you mean, am I sure?
I did not.
Well, good for you.
Mechanical engineers don't need to know history. We're the future.
No, it was one of our KU core.
Yeah, I took American studies, which was a mistake. I do not recommend that to anyone listening.
I think I took women's studies during one of my summers.
I'd rather take that.
What's American studies?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks everyone for for joining and listening. You should follow us on Instagram at The Lighthouse Lowdown. You can check out our website, thelighthouselowdown.com.
You can leave us a voicemail.
Yeah, you can leave us a voicemail there. You can watch the YouTube videos there. You can listen to our podcast there. Oh, you can also leave us a review there, which you should definitely do.
5 stars.
5 stars
only.
5 out of 10.
And
paragraphs. You need to write a paragraph.
And I've been getting a lot of comments on YouTube.
Yes, so much fun.
So thank you all for that. I appreciate it very much.
And people have been suggesting lighthouses for us to cover. So mm-hmm. It's really fun. We always enjoy that. And we are taking notes. We have lists going.
That's right.
So
plenty of material coming your way.
Yeah. Well, so we hope you join us next time on The Lighthouse Lowdown.